Chapter 12. Glitten. Godric never got his bath. He had hoped, being at the capital, the location of the luxurious Estine baths, he would be able to soothe his aching joints and his worn-out feet. Alas, Centurion Darius had turned up and ruined all of his plans. They had been tasked with trekking the length and breadth of the continent to find the rest of the lost Penitence Legionnaires. They were to meet Astaris, the Primus of Legion Penitence, at Stutmouth, where she had found herself after the random teleportation they had all experienced. From the communication Centurion Darius had had with other members of Legion Penitence, it appeared that people inside the temple room right next to the ritual were the only ones to experience the random teleportation. The majority of the Legion left outside to guard the entrance had experienced no such phenomenon. They were left in the wildlands, tasked with hiking back to the capital, looking for King Asandrides on their way. No one had managed to establish communication with the king. Was he even the king anymore? It tied Godric's head in knots every time he tried to think about it. The dwarf, Godric had since learned his name was Thud, remained resolute in his frustration, the frown never leaving his face. He was a dwarf of few words. The utterances he made were monosyllabic and kept to as few words as possible. Godric would have questioned the dwarf's intelligence, but he was Porsche's second-hand man. He couldn't be a complete idiot. It was a nearly 200-mile trek between the capital, Giravos, and Stutmouth, their eventual aim. Between them were several smaller towns and hamlets. Centurion Darius had plotted a course between the two cities, stopping off at each hamlet to check for lost legionnaires and pick them up along the way, either taking them with them or sending them back to the capital. Specifically, en route were three towns. The first was Glitten, a mining town, tin specifically. Several mines had been dug deep into the surrounding area, the ground known to be rich in tin ore. They had a profitable trade, and the town had a population of several thousand. Next on the list was Butcher's Creek, somewhere Godric had actually already heard of, a hunting hamlet that exported wild game. His father and some of his friends had talked about Butcher's Creek several times. Godric had overheard them discussing it in the drawing room. The town specialised in elk, but was most famous for their wild boar. Even Godric had heard the story of Billy Braven and the wild boar, a brave hunter who saved the town from starvation one cold winter. The town had run out of fresh food months ago, and had been living off their preserved and dried out food for several weeks now. Billy was just a young man at the time, his mother growing more frail as every day passed. After rations were cut in half for the third time, Billy could take no more. He gathered his hunting knife and his bow, and he stepped out of the house, swearing not to return until he brought back a feast that would feed the entire town, only several hundred people at that point. Billy made his way into the Songful Forest, the known mating lands of the wild boars that roamed the local area. Oddly enough, the Songful Forest wild boars mated during winter. He stepped out into the forest, not knowing how he could possibly feed everyone, but knew that he had no choice but to try. He wandered deeper and deeper into the Songful Forest, sure that eventually he would come across the mating grounds of the local wild boar. It was not long into his second day of hiking that he did indeed find the boar. Or more accurately, They found him. Only snippets of the story of Billy Braven and the Wild Boar are known, but the main story told to children in the town of Butcher's Creek begins with Billy Braven running from a horde of 20 wild boar. Local historians say it was likely many less. The numbers had been exaggerated as the story was told and retold. Billy Braven was running from the 20 wild boar. He had bitten off more than he could chew. The story begins with Billy Braven running from the horde of 20 wild boar, unsure how he would escape. He saw that he was quickly approaching a precipice, and with his quick thinking and his accuracy with his short bow, Billy Braven tied a rope around his last remaining arrow. He jumped. He leapt into the air and fired that remaining arrow at a tree. Billy Braven fell. He fell and fell into the abyss before the line pulled taut and he swung to safety. But you know what happened to the 20 wild boar that were chasing Billy Braven? They leapt like lemmings off the cliff face, too caught up in the chase. They leapt to their deaths and were smashed asunder on the rocks at the bottom. All that was left was for Billy Braven to climb down the rock face and claim his prize. The 20 wild boar fed the inhabitants of Butcher's Creek for the weeks to follow. They were fattened and much gladdened by the food, and they made it through that winter thanks to the brave actions of Billy Braven and the wild boar. Their final destination before Stutmouth was the town of Tornhold. Tornhold had previously been a strategically important location during the Ascendancy War. Now its old fort was run down and decrepit. A town had been built up around it, and they specialised in the tanning business due to a mutual trade with Butcher's Creek. It was well known that the hides from the Butcher's Creek wild boars were some of the strongest around, and Tornhold made some of the best boiled leather armour that money could buy. The tusks they fashioned into drinking horns, and the hooves they made their local delicacy from, Tornhold stew. Centurion Darius was set on marching. He all but dragged Godric and Thud out of the city, ready to march towards Stutmouth without a moment's notice and without even getting a simple bath. Godric promised himself that he'd come back someday and explore the city properly. When this was all finished with and done, and Centurion Darius was no longer ordering him around, he would explore Gyrovos. He would go to the library. He'd look at the lamps and the plumbing. He'd sit there for hours, doing nothing but watching the lamps flicker, the magic inspiring his own study. Maybe someday he would invent something as world-changing and beautiful as the lamps of Gyrovos Library. As they were stepping through the gates, Godric decided he would try one last gambit.
"I know where the king is. I'd bet my tail on it. If you give me 3 days, and just let me study in the library, just a couple of days, I'll get you the king."
"Our mission is not the king. Our mission was given to us very clearly. We are to march the continent, finding the lost remnants of Legion Penitents, and to direct them back to the capital. It may not be glamorous, pretty boy. You may not like it. It may not fit your noble aspirations, but that's what we've been ordered. You can stay here if you like and be branded a deserter, or you can come with me and follow orders."
That was it. His last chance. Centurion Darius really was unflappable. They began their march, They had procured food from the local market, and Godric's nose could still sniff the faintest scent of the delectable foods they had left behind. Centurion Darius was entirely utilitarian, packing salted porks and stale bread, hard cheeses and already rotting fruit. Stuff that would keep them energized on the road, but nothing to satisfy their taste buds. They marched to Glitten, the mining town, first. It was a 60-mile march and would take them most of 2 days. They spent most of the walk in silence. Occasional grunts from Thard let them know he was still alive. Centurion Darius, already having spent several decades in the Legion, found the march little more than a small inconvenience. He pressed on like a man possessed, obviously a real Jobsworth when it came to orders from the higher-ups. Godric suffered. He'd done much marching with the Legion already, but hadn't quite managed to toughen up his paws enough to deal with the long marches the Legion did from time to time. They reached the borders of Glitten, hopeful that they may have some food and water that they could partake in. Their rations had run out a little early, and the grumbles from their stomachs was even louder than the crunching gravel underfoot. Glitten was a traditional mining town. A wooden fence surrounded the entire place, wooden gates denoting the entrance to the town. Buildings could be seen over the fence, oddly many of them having tin roofs. Generally, tin was far too expensive to be used as a roofing material, but in Glitten they had a glut of tin, and so tin was used for many of their construction projects. As they approached, Godric could see two guards standing at the gates, dwarves by the looks of it. Godric interacted with far too many dwarves nowadays. There had never been any on the Godmain estate, but out here in the real world it appeared that dwarves worked at almost every station. They approached the gates, Centurion Darius motioning to the guards that they wanted to enter the town.
"Right there, you want to enter said town of Glitten? What is a trio of lads like you doing, wandering the wilderness, happening upon our little town of Glitten here?"
The appearance of the two dwarvish guards could not be in any more contrast. One of them looked like he was suffering from a 3-day hangover, a deep frown on his face, several weeks' stubble, and a perpetual snarl graced his mouth. The other looked like it was his wedding day, pleased to see new guests to the town of Glitten, happy to invite them in and welcome them to his hometown.
"Don't listen to my brother here. He's not as bad as he looks or sounds. Truly, we're pleased to have you here in Glitten. Welcome to our establishment. As I'm sure you know, we deal in tin. It's what we do here. Tin mugs. Tin crates. The tin roofs are what made Glitten famous. People come here just to see them. Marvel at our construction genius, don't they, brother?"
"I guess they do. I don't fancy the roofs myself. They tarnish pretty bad in the weather we get here. I prefer a good thatch myself."
Centurion Darius stepped up to the two, swiftly handing over a Legion document.
"Step aside, gentlemen. We have Legion business here."
"Oh, I see. High and mighty Legion guy. Oh, check you out in your armor and your sword and your Legion document. Oh, think that's gonna get you into my town, do you? Well, you're gonna need more than a piece of paper. Look at you, you're so serious. Did you have that face when you came out your mother? Lighten up, man. I know I'm grumpy, but you could do with a few drinks, I tell you.
I apologize for my friend here. He's just trying to get us where we need to go, and where we need to go is in this town here.
I'm sorry, recruit. I do not need you to defend me to these here dwarves. We have a legion permit to enter this city, and by right, decree of King Asadrides, they cannot stop us. I would have you drop here and give me 50, but I don't want to embarrass you in front of these here.
Centurion Darius looked at the two dwarves up and down, his favourite disdainful look on his face.
Guards!
He's right, brother, you know. He does have a legion document. We can't stop them. It's got the seal and everything. All right, guys, I'm going to have to give you my normal speech. But don't worry, we'll let you through. Welcome to the town of Glitton. Please keep in mind that this is a working town. We have several active mines that you must not trespass on for your own safety. If you cause any trouble in town, the local sheriff will cuff you in handcuffs and put you in a cell for the night. But if you behave yourselves, the sheriff will not have to get involved in any way. We have several gift shops and also a local estate agent that will happily find you a location to set up your new home in Glitton. Welcome to our beautiful town, and we hope you stay for a long time.
Centurion Darius frowned at the two dwarfs. The look on his face said that he wanted to continue the fight, though by doing so he would delay them further and potentially prevent them from entering the town. Thankfully, his orders came at a higher priority than his pride, and he simply nodded at the dwarf. The gate was opened, and they entered the town of Glitton.
Okay, I think the best option is for us to split up. This town isn't too big, so you shouldn't get lost. I'm gonna head to the local sheriff's office. You two see if you can find any other information about lost legionnaires.
Centurion Darius turned and made his way towards the sheriff's office, clearly marked by the sign in the middle of the road. The dirt track through Glitton was a dusty red road, the sun baking it throughout the day, making it dry and cracked. Just looking at it made Godric feel thirsty. As Centurion Darius's footsteps disappeared in the dust, he heard the guffawing of the dwarves behind him.
Did you see the look on his face?
I know, brother. It pleases me no end to make fun of a centurion. Perhaps next time we'll get a primus.
Happy that it wasn't just him who wanted to make fun of Centurion Darius at any opportunity, Godric looked around him. He could see a local tavern, though from his eyes it was far more of a saloon than a tavern. Leading down the dirt path, Godric could see several shops. Off to the right was the sheriff's office, Centurion Darius busily marching his way there. The town rose up a steep hill, the housing raking its way up the side. The tin roofs were clear to see, even from this distance. They shined in the midday sun. Perhaps the local inhabitants polished them every day, their pride and joy, the tin roofs of their houses. Though they'd walked through several forests to get here, the town really did seem to lack trees of any kind. Thorny bushes lined the edges of the red dirt road. A weed blew across in front of them, tumbling along as it was blown through the town. What little grass there was a dull tan colour. This place got far too much sun and far too little water. Looking at the inhabitants walking down the dirty street, everyone seemed caked in a thin layer of red dust. In that moment, two things happened. Godric's stomach grumbled so loudly that even Thud looked at him in shock. And second, inspiration hit Godric. This place was known for its tin. Baths could be made of tin, no? But looking at the local inhabitants, with that thin layer of red dust, it appeared that no one in Glitten ever bathed. Or maybe the red dust was just that pervasive. Deciding that food was definitely a priority, and that the tavern slash saloon was definitely the best place to go and find out local information, Thud and Godric headed toward the wooden structure. The tavern, like in most places, made up the centre of the town. It was usually one of the first buildings constructed, and so every other building subsequently was built around it. Unlike taverns Godric had entered before, this one featured a double door, waist height, a gap at the bottom and the top. Godric pushed the doors and entered the tavern. It seemed the hinges needed to be oiled as a rusty squeak announced their entrance into the tavern. The place was surprisingly full, considering the lack of locals walking the streets outside. As the rusty doors announced their presence, the local patrons stopped what they were doing and turned to observe the new arrivals. Looking around the establishment, Godric was greeted by a sea of glowing, slitted eyes. He could see why their sudden appearance may have caused some disruption. The tavern was full of kobolds. Nothing but kobolds. Well, that wasn't entirely true. The bartender was human, but he was serving an entire room of kobolds, a sea of multicoloured lizards, red, blue, even a shade of pink here and there. Standing for several seconds, unsure what to do, Thud appeared to make up his mind and walked towards the bar, his footsteps creaking on the wooden floor as he went. Godric felt rooted to the spot, the glistening eyes still staring at him, questioning his presence in their tavern. He managed to muster an awkward smile, grimacing more than smiling around the room. The awkward silence abated, and the kobolds lowered their eyes simultaneously, returning to their drinks and board games. He followed Thud towards the bartender. There didn't appear to be any other legionnaires in here. He was sure Six would have made her presence known, and the excitable kobold was nowhere to be seen. Walking up to the bar, Godric decided he would order a drink. It was rude, after all, to enter a tavern, question the bartender, and leave.
Hello there. I wonder what drinks you have on tonight, good sir.
Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to Tham's Saloon. I'm Tham, your bartender, and you've joined us on Kobold Night. I apologise, but all the drinks on Kobold Night are kobold-focused. They're kobold-sized, tailored to kobold tastes, and generally kobold-orientated. What would you two like to order?
In one of the rare moments during their trip, Thud spoke up.
Beer.
That was it. That was all he said, but it was all that the bartender needed.
Two beers coming right up. Again, I must stress that it is kobold night, so our beers are a little bit more kobold-orientated. I hope you enjoy. Here you go.
The bartender reached behind the bar. It appeared he had two drinks ready-made. He must get a lot of custom. Placing the two extremely frothy drinks on the counter, the barman retreated. Looking at the pints that were just handed to them, Godric wasn't sure he wanted a drink any more. The strange fluid was thick, almost gelatinous, the froth on top an inch at least. Some strange spice or powder was dusted on top, covering the froth and the edge of the glass. Floating in the middle of the drink was a yellow orb. He looked at it for several seconds before realizing that it must have been a yolk floating in the middle of his... What was it they'd ordered? Beer? Well, he really was thirsty, and the bartender had heard them correctly, right? Well, it was Kobold night. This, apparently, was Kobold beer. How bad could it be? Looking to Thud for some encouragement, he was shocked to see that the dwarf had already drunk his entire pint, slamming the glass back down on the counter. Not wanting to be shown up in front of his fellow legionnaire, Godric did the same. It wasn't entirely unpleasant, the thick liquid sliding down easily, with the cinnamon adding a spice that was unexpected yet pleasant. Godric enjoyed the drink until he hit the yolk in the middle. It burst inside his mouth, coating the inside with a yolky, eggy flavour that couldn't be washed down by the rest of the thick drink. It appeared Thud had thoroughly enjoyed his drink, had ordered a second, and was currently halfway through downing that one. Content with his first experience of kobold cuisine, Godric finished his drink and laid his glass on the counter. The bartender looked at the two legionnaires, a smile cracking on his jovial face.
You know you're supposed to stir it, right?
Not wanting to rush straight into business, Godric decided some small talk was in need. Also, he had some questions.
So, what was that drink you just gave us? Also,
he leaned over the counter slightly and lowered his voice.
Why are there just kobolds in here? I saw several different races outside, but you just have kobolds in your tavern. Did you realise?
I did say that it's kobold night, right?
Yes.
Well, you see, we've had some misunderstandings in this here town. It's painted as a lovely place, a place to come visit, see the shiny roofs.
They really were overly proud of their tin roofs here.
Well, you see, several years ago, there was a dispute between orcs, kobolds, and dwarves. The orcs said that they were clearly pulling in the most ore from the mines. The dwarves said that was utterly ridiculous, as it was their tools that enabled the orcs to do the digging. The kobolds said they should get the most recognition because they were the ones that dug the tunnels. This all came to a head one day, and there was a large shoot-up in my tavern. I'm not having no shoot-ups in my tavern, I tell you, not in Sam's saloon. It all began with one orc insulting a dwarf's mother. Or was it his father? I don't remember. I never could tell the difference between a dwarf mother and father. They both have beards, you see. Anyway, eventually, the whole tavern descended into a suit-up. From that day on, I refused to have all three races in my tavern on one night. So, I set up a rota. Kobold nights on Thursday, orcs on Friday, and dwarves on Saturdays. Oh yeah, and the drink you just had was called a kobold. It's a delicacy in the kobold homelands, I'll have you know. Got the recipe from a trader myself. Cost me 500 gold.
Godric was quickly coming to like this Sam. He was enthusiastic about his tavern and business and clearly cared for his patrons. If he knew so much about the local disagreements and goings-on in town, surely he would know about some lost legionnaires wandering the local area.
We're actually here trying to find some fellow soldiers. Our legion got separated and we're trying to locate them in the area. You haven't happened to hear about any Legion Penitent's soldiers wandering lost through the town?
As a matter of fact, I might have heard about something just like that. Oh, what was it? Ah, yes. A trio of halflings made their way through town just a few days ago. I think they might have ended up in Casimir's haberdashery. Yeah, they said they needed some help with some wolves that were eating her sheep. That's it, yeah. And they were tasked with finding the wolves and eradicating them. That's exactly what it was. That's where you'll find your friends. They were wearing the same armour as you, that kneeling man on your chest. Go to the haberdashery just down the road. You can't miss it. Big bundle of wool sitting in the window. They'll tell you exactly where your friends are. And when you're done, if you're parched after a day's adventure trying to find your fellow legionnaires, come back to Sam's Saloon for a nice drink. If you come on Orc Night, we do a special deal on blood beer. You wouldn't want to miss it. I tell you, I make a mean blood beer. The trick is, you've got to get just the right mixture of beer and pig's blood.
With the offer of some discounted blood beer, Godric and Thard thanked Sam for the information and their cabaled beer. It was at least an experience. Thard seemed to enjoy it. Making their way out of the tavern, Godric accidentally kicked one of the seats out from underneath a perched kobold. The kobold turned to see the offender, and, unsure how to respond, Godric simply pointed to the kobold behind him. This was obviously the wrong move, as there seemed to be some prior disagreement between the two. The offended kobold leapt from his chair and dove at the kobold Godric had pointed at, claws bared. It appeared they had started somewhat of a riot as kobolds from either side of the tavern jumped at each other, claws scratching, teeth biting. Tables flew and chairs were turned over as kobolds fought kobolds, drinks forgotten, food strewn across the floor. Godric was caught in the crossfire, a yoke sticking in his mane as they quickly exited the squeaky double doors. Thard and Godric tumbled out of the tavern onto the red dirt road, thankful they had escaped the pandemonium inside. Through the screeches and growls, they heard the exasperated shouts of the bartender, Sam.
Oh no, not again!
Thard turned to Godric.
That was fun.
Fun, eh? I didn't order you two to have fun.
A furious-looking Centurion Darius coughed next to them.